12. Everybody's done a great job tonight. Thank you so much. I appreciate the talent at Bible Baptist Church. Amen. Folks, we're a family. That's right. That's why we're not trying to impress anybody. We're trying to please the Lord. Honor the Lord. Glorify the Lord. Amen. If we ever get away from that, we might as well bolt her down. That's right. Bolt it down. Forget about it. The Bible said, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. As long as you do what you're doing for God's glory, then He'll bless you for it. Romans 12, look at verse 1 and 2. The Lord's brought my heart back here. Different message. Of course, there's nothing new under the sun, but something the Lord shared in my heart today. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Again, the Lord has laid the thought on my heart, how the will of God and how to know it. The will of God and how to know it. As Paul's writing to the Romans here, believers, he's trying to build faith in them in different areas. If you read Romans 4, talking about the faith of Abraham, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness, and his faith stood the test. Faith pleases God, and without faith, it displeases God. The Bible says that in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse number 6, without faith, we can't please Him. So he's building faith, but he also wants to build service in us. And so I want to notice a few things. Notice the verse. Am I sounding all right? Okay, all right. I'm not used to hearing myself this clear. And I'm thinking now I wish I hadn't. But anyway, the will of God and how to know it. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. And we're so thankful, Lord, for Jesus. I thank you for my church family. Lord, what a blessing they are to my heart. And I'm thankful, Lord, that we can come together on a Wednesday night in one mind, one accord, for one purpose, and that's to worship you, to sing the songs of Zion, to preach the Word of God. And I ask you, Father, to illuminate our mind and our heart and our mouth and enable us to preach with the anointing of the Spirit. And Lord, again, you know every need among us. Meet those needs. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, there's several things in these verses. I want to read verse number 3 again as well. It said, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So we see very clearly that God measures, God gives us spiritual enablements and abilities, but He wants us to give ourselves over to Him completely so He can work out those things in our life. The Bible tells us to work out our own salvation with fear and in trembling. And that's not talking about figuring out how to get saved. It's talking about working out what's there and allowing God to cultivate your life and God to grow your life and bless your life and help your life. And so He cannot do that if we're not committing our bodies, if we're not giving ourselves over to Him. Very few people, Christians in these days, are saying, Lord, here am I, send me. I thought about Isaiah when he looked and couldn't find anybody. He said, hey, here I am. I'll do it. I'll be faithful, Lord. I'll put my own ambitions aside. I'll put my own goals aside. Or I'll put them on the back burner. I'll put them in second place, third place where they belong. And I'm putting you out front, Lord. And Lord, here am I. Use me, send me, enable me. But now in verse 1, there's an appeal in verse 1. We find with this appeal, there is a reminder. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. So with this appeal comes a reminder of who they are. They're brethren. They're saved by God's grace. And they have experienced the mercies of God. So the appeal that Paul is making, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Not the mercy of God, Brother Desmond is saying his mercies are brand new every day, the Bible says. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Folks, think about the mercies of God in your life. Think about how the mercies, the mercy of your salvation, the mercy of Him using you, the mercy of every day allowing you to walk and live and breathe. That's all God's mercy. You don't realize how much of the mercy of God. That's why God makes you new every day, because we need it that much every day. The mercies of God. And so he's appealing to them. Hey, I beseech you. I am beckoning you. I am affirming you. I want you to see. I'm beseeching, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So he wants them, he's trying to appeal to them. But also in verse 2, there's an affirming here. He said in verse 2, he says, let me go back to verse 1. I present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So there's several things. Not only is he appealing to them, but now he's affirming something. Number one, he's affirming their separation. He said that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. He said, I want you to set yourself apart. He tells them, said, and be not conformed to this world. You see, the world's look, the world's language, the world's location, we need to not conform to that. There's an affirming of their separation. Then there's an affirming of their switching or their transformation by the renewing of your mind. To make your mind over. In other words, God saves our soul and then begins to work through His Word and His Holy Spirit to change our mind about certain philosophies that we have that don't line up with Scripture. Something, certain ways that we have. Folks, that's what growing is doing. Peter said, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. As you grow, your mind changes about things. Amen. The reason some folks' minds not changed for the better is because they're not growing any. Amen. Folks, I know full well that I'm not the best preacher in the world, but there's one thing I can tell you. My messages have not changed. And there's still folks that won't change their mind about truth. They won't change their mind about their look, their language, their location. They still desire the carnality of the world. And Paul said here, he said, I want you to commit your bodies to living sacrifice. I want them to be holy. Is that what he said? He said, holy, except unto God, which is a reasonable service, and be not conformed. So there's an affirmation of their separation, an affirming of their switch, a renewing of their mind. Hey, you've got to change your mind. You've got to change. Now, there's some things we don't change our mind about, the fundamentals of the faith, but we change our mind when we got saved and we begin to grow about things of our flesh. Amen. We got to remember, hey, if we're going to renew the spirit of our mind, then we got to take out this old garbage that's in there. Amen. I remember when God called me to preach, I started going to Bible college, and the Lord began to unfold Scripture to me, and I began to see things out of order in me. The Word and the Spirit of God will do that if you let Him. And I'm not going into detail about a lot of stuff. Most of it you done heard anyway. But the Lord began to deal with my heart about things that were out of order. And get this. I'm glad some preachers come through there and had a pastor that preached this to me, but I didn't actually have to have that. Preacher, what do you mean? I'm not saying I didn't have to have preaching, but the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God, when you begin to really want to know truth, He'll begin to reveal that truth to you. Amen. He'll begin to open your eyes. Hey, you know, you're not right there. Now, it's through the preaching of the Word of God. I know that didn't sound just right, but thank God for preaching and teaching. But folks, if you're saved, the Spirit of God lives within you. If you're getting the book, Amen. He'll begin to change your mind about things in your life. He began to show me error in my life. And I had to take care of some of that. Now, I've not arrived. I count not myself to have apprehended. Of course not. But yet, I thank God for the appealing of the Scripture, how He switched me. He changed my mind, the renewing of my mind. I had changed my mind about a lot of things I thought was okay. I was saved early, young, but I was indulging in fleshly things that I shouldn't have been. And you know what? God showed me clearly, you don't need that in your life. You cannot grow. I cannot use you until you get that out. Renew the spirit of your mind. Change your mind about it.
Amen.
And I did. I did. Have you ever got to a place in your Christian life and a preacher's preaching a standard, or you seeing something in the Scripture, and you're thinking, man, I can't believe as a Christian I ever thought that was okay. Have you ever come to that place? I can't believe I ever thought that was all right. I'm glad God's gentle with us. I'm glad He's patient with us. Come on. I am thankful. I'm glad I belong to a church that believes the book. I'm glad I've had preachers that preach it.
Amen.
All the days of my rebellion. I'm talking about saved rebellion. Folks, it's bad to be unsaved rebellious, but when you're saved and rebellious, that's bad.
That's right.
I've been there. I've been saved and rebellious because you know what happens? Pride gets in there and you don't believe it.
Right.
See, when you're saved and rebellious, preaching offends you. Standards, rules offend you.
Right.
Authority offends you.
Right.
Yeah. You get mad at authority when you're saved and your heart's not right.
Right.
And in your mind, you think, well, ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. And then even though somebody preaches it to you from the Scriptures or you read it and the Spirit of God begins to touch your heart, you automatically, oh, nope, there ain't nothing wrong with that. I've had older people, Christians, when I was younger, say, well, that won't send you to hell. Now, I understand one thing sends you to hell, that's rejecting Christ. But some things you do in the flesh may not send you to hell, but they get you to heaven quicker. Come on. That's right. Sometimes you get there and it smells like you been before you got to heaven. Everybody all right? So there's an appeal, there's an affirming, and he affirmed not only their separation and their switching, but he affirmed their station in verse 2 again. And be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. So there's an affirming of their place. But then there's an attitude in verse number 3. Not only is there an appeal and affirming, but there's an attitude. He said, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. That means with a good mind, an open mind, a sound mind, soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. But folks, the whole thing, I ran through that. The whole course of this text is that God's people can know the perfect will of God. And if we don't first give ourselves over to the Lord, we'll never know the perfect will of God. We'll never be able to live in the perfect will of God. We will have any desire to be in the perfect will of God. I don't know why the Spirit of God's having me say this. Somebody's here tonight. Do you really want to be in the will of God? Do you really want to be used of God? You really want to be in line with God? But you have walked away from the will of God so long, you done got it fixed in your mind, you cannot get back. Can I go ahead and tell you this? That's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie from Satan. Folks, God allows U-turns. And get this, it don't matter how many U-turns you have to make before you really stay on the right road. Just keep turning.
Amen.
Folks, I believe in repentance for salvation, but I believe once we get saved, it's a life of repenting of stuff. Amen. It's alive. Folks, I got saved and I won't have any more problem with the flesh. That's a lie. I wish I could tell you that was true. Amen. Oh, I'll never fail the Lord. And again, as the preacher preached Sunday night, what a great message. We're not giving licenses to sin. We're just talking about flesh. I hope you don't sit here and think, well, you know what? Man, I live perfect. No, you don't. Right. You want to. You press to, you should. But you may have got on the wrong road as a Christian. Let me tell you something. Somebody here is really wanting to get back on fire for the Lord. Get back. Amen. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body. Hey, present your body a living sacrifice. Give it to the Lord. Confess that sin. Repent of that sin. Turn from that sin. Ask the Lord to cleanse you from that sin. Amen. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven. I'll heal their land. I'll forgive their sins. You can get back where you need to be. You can get back where you need to be, but you got to be the one to do it. But the will of God... How to know the perfect will of God. How to know that you're in the perfect will of God. Well, this is a few simple thoughts and I'm done tonight. Number one, there will be persistence of Scripture. What are you trying to say? God's will never, ever contradict His Word. People, they get confused, and I'm not being critical. God knows my heart. But they'll say, I feel like I need to do this for the Lord. And I'm not saying their feeling is wrong, but a lot of times their feeling doesn't line up with the Scripture. Folks, the Bible said a man that desireth an office of a bishop desires a good thing. That don't mean God's called him to that. That doesn't mean a bishop and pastor is the same office. Under shepherd, pastor, bishop, that's the same office. The man that desires the office of a bishop desires a good thing, but that doesn't mean God's called him to that. But folks, the Lord will never contradict His Word. When young men come to me saying they feel like God's calling to preach, you can ask some of these guys, what did God say? What did He give you a word? Did God give you a word about preaching? A lot of people say, "Oh, you don't need a word to preach." I believe you're going to be called to preach and use the office. I believe there's a call to that. If I'm wrong, then the apostles was wrong. God called them. God called Paul. Come on. Paul even said, "The Lord put me in the gospel, in the ministry." To preach the God. Hey, so therefore, if you feel like God's calling you to preach, men, y'all heard that. What did God say about it? What's God say about it? Has He give you a word on it? You couldn't pay me $1 million a day to do this outside of a call. He said, "Oh, preacher, you would too." No, I wouldn't. No, sir, buddy. But the will of God will never, ever contradict God's word. Amen. Then, get this. There'll be persistence of the Scripture. Will never contradict God's word. There'll be praise of the Savior. What do you mean? It will not congratulate self. Amen. It will not. Hey, there'll be praise. Hey, He'll get the glory. Folks, you remember when God called Saul, Paul, he saved and called the chief of sinners, so only the Lord would get the glory for it. Those fishermen, all they knew was hard work. But God chose them to be fishers of men because he knew that God would get the glory for it. The Bible says in Corinthians, not many noble, not many wise are called. God chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Why? That no flesh can glory in his presence. That's where we are. Flesh likes the glory. And many times people that are not called and it's not the will of God for their life, it's all about self. But the will of God won't praise self. The will of God will praise the Lord. The will of God will praise the Lord. Every time the will of God will praise the Lord. To God be the glory. If you say, well, I feel like God wants me to do this, and the whole time in your heart and your mind it's about promoting you, then I'm telling you how the will of God. Amen. I'm telling you it's not God's will. Amen. It's not God's will for your life if it's promoting you. Amen. If it's lifting you up. If it's something in your heart and mind, oh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to say that because all people are going to think I'm spiritual. God's not in that. Persistence of Scripture will not contradict the Scripture. Praise of the Savior, it will not congratulate self. Then it's promoted by the Spirit. I like this. It will not contaminate a true stirring. Folks, you understand, I don't know a whole lot, but I know when the Spirit is moving right and when he's grieved. Not only in my own heart, but even in a church service. I know when God's in something and when it's a show of the flesh. I've learned that. I've been in services. Well, they were tearing up the church, shouting. I'm talking about doing damage to God's property. I've seen God's property be vandalized by somebody trying to shout to make people look at them. I've been in services that way. And years ago, I got on a lot of people's bad side because I was trying to umbrella some of our young teenage boys from that kind of emotionalism that the Spirit of God was not in. See, I know when the Spirit of God moves around here and it's really the Lord, our children are even calm. Our children are even at peace and at rest, and they're not sitting there. I have seen it in places and once or twice here where children were confused and afraid, and they ran to me after Sunday school, scared to death. And here, as a pastor, man, I'm upset because they feel this way, and I know God wouldn't need it. I'm angry. The Spirit of God, folks, that's not the will of God. Amen. And I like to shout. Amen. I like to hear people say amen and glory. I like to see people shed tears. I love to see people testify. But if it's that the Spirit of God is not in it, you're promoting you. Amen. And that is not the will of God. Amen. That is not the will of God. I'm telling you. I don't know a whole lot, but I know the difference between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And I believe if you're saved and you try to walk with God, you'll know it too. Amen. Hello. Amen. Persistence of the Scripture. You'll never contradict it. Praise of the Savior. It will not congratulate self. Promotion by the Spirit. It will not contaminate a true stirring. But here's the negative. The will of God will bring prevention of Satan. It'll contain a struggle. Now, some of you can preach, you lost me now. You've lost me. I'm not trying to lose you. But if the devil ain't trying to get in the middle of it, it's probably not the will of God. Amen. Preacher, how can you say that? We can start with Abraham and go all the way through everybody that God gave a work and told them what his will was. They didn't go far until Satan started moving. They got a sure word from the Lord. They was in obedience. They was in the will of God. Was it Abraham? Goes and all of a sudden he's afraid they're going to think Bathsheba is his sister. He tells a lie. That's Satan. Satan's fighting him. Satan's fighting him. Go to Moses. God raised him up for such a time as that. Automatic battle. Got a sure word from God. God spoke to him out of a bush that was burning but was not consumed and told him clearly what his will was, and he got in the will of God. It wasn't long. Bam, there's a battle. Do y'all understand this? If and I mean no disrespect or dishonor, but if Moses and the Lord had ever got together, they'd annihilated Israel. Preacher, what do you mean? One minute, God's telling Moses, I'm going to destroy them all and start over. And Moses prays, God, please don't do that. And then next thing you know, they made Moses mad. Moses asking God to kill him. God said, I ain't going to do that. Makes me wonder how many times somebody's interceded for me before God really got me. Amen. But we could keep going. We could talk about Paul. We could talk about the apostles. We could talk about many of them. They got a sure way on the Damascus Road. He got a sure word from God, the perfect will of God. God gave him on the Damascus Road. And automatically the devil began to fight. But he got a sure word. He was in the perfect will of God. And when you know that you got a word from God, you're in the perfect will of God, when the battles come, you won't quit. Well, what if Paul, Moses, Noah, Abraham, what if they was like the typical Baptist Christian church member now? They never would have completed the task. Why? Because I don't think they like me. Why? They look at me funny. I'm out. They said something hateful. I'm out. These guys were getting stoned, thrown in prison, and they didn't ever say, I'm out. Paul was in the perfect will of God, and you know what he said? The time of my departure is at hand. He didn't say, I'm out, I quit, I'm done. He even told Timothy in the final letter, all men had forsaken me, but God stood with me. But he didn't say, I'm out, I'm done. They hurt my feelings. They don't like me. Think of me, folks, don't like you at school, don't like you on your job, don't like you here, don't like you. Hey, what about the will of God, though? The will of God will never contradict his book. I say this, and I'm going to say it clearly, and I'm saying it because the Spirit of God's telling me to. I know where God's put me, and I know where God's put my family. Amen. And until he puts me and tells me something else, I'm not going anywhere whether you like it or not. Amen. Now, ain't nobody trying to run me off, I mean, as far as I know, but it ain't going to work. Better than you've tried. I know where I'm supposed to be. I know the will of God, Brother Jonathan, for my life. I know it. And since I know the will of God, when Satan in opposition comes, that's just part of it. Because what he wants to do is discourage me and discourage you to get us to bow out of the will of God, to go against the will of God, to quit on the will of God, to lay the will of God aside. We can't do that. When we present our bodies a living sacrifice, that means we have given up rights. Amen. We've given up all rights to ourselves. Right. How to know the will of God? How to know the will of God? The will of God will never will never contradict Scripture. It'll never promote self. It'll always promote the Spirit of God. It'll always praise Christ and not you. And it'll always be attacked by the devil. Folks, the devil don't want you in the perfect will of God. Satan don't want your life in the perfect will of God. He don't want your family in the will of God. He don't want you to change your mind about nothing that you're doing. He wants you to stay carnal. He wants you to stay complacent. He wants you to stay eat up with guilt. He wants you to stay eat up with guilt with every mistake and every sin you have committed every time and all the times you failed the Lord. And he wants you to stay eat up with guilt and keep you in a mindset that I can never be useful again. I can never live a life in the will of God. He's a liar. He's a liar. You can be, but you've got to realize that and change your mind that you can't I can. God will forgive me. God will restore me. God will use me again in some way. And then realize when you get right with God and you get in the will of God, Satan's going to come try to get you back out again. He's going to show back up, try to get you back out of the will of God again. Hey, don't listen. You keep moving. God has a perfect will for you. Live in it. Let's all stand. My Bible, son. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking on but me and the Lord. The altar's open.